Hello, I'm Jerry Smith with the BBC News. A group with links to so-called Islamic State says it carried out the extended gun and bomb assault in the centre of the Indonesian capital, Jakarta. For almost 3 hours, police battled militants at locations including a Starbucks cafe, a shopping mall and a United Nations building. One eyewitness, Reza, said the attacks seemed to be well-trained.
I saw the motorcycle riders take out long guns and shoot at everybody. They looked really professional, judging by the way they fired. I was at the intersection when I heard a loud sound. At first I thought it was a car tire exploding, but then I realized it was a bomb. Then I saw the men on motorcycles, all wearing black clothes, pulling out their guns.
5 attackers and at least 2 civilians are dead. Police say they had received cryptic warnings of an attack 2 months ago from Islamic State militants, resulting in increased security across the country. Rebecca Henschke is head of BBC Indonesia.
Statements are coming from the Indonesian police. They're saying that there's been some communication between a group, particularly acting out of Solo in central Java. It was some communication with members of the so-called Islamic State in Syria. Before Christmas, security increased dramatically in Jakarta because there was fears that this kind of attack was going to take place.
The World Health Organization has declared that the Ebola epidemic in West Africa is over. Liberia, one of the 3 worst affected countries, has reported no new cases of the disease in over a month. Sierra Leone and Guinea had already been declared free of the disease. The outbreak in West Africa was the worst ever seen, killing over 11,000 people. BBC Africa's health correspondent Anne Soy says that many challenges still remain.
The impact of Ebola is just massive. It has affected every sector of life. They lost many health workers. Apart from that, we have more than 17,000 survivors of Ebola. They are presenting serious complications which many people still do not know how to deal with. There were orphans who have been left behind, and so it's a huge, huge challenge. And yet, they are poor countries, so they are going to need a lot of support from the international community.
A second aid convoy has entered the besieged rebel-held Syrian town of Madaya. A spokesman for the International Red Cross said about 50 trucks were carrying desperately needed food and medical supplies. Earlier this week, the first aid deliveries reached the town close to the Lebanese border, where thousands are trapped. Local reports say that several people have starved to death. The share price of the car manufacturer Renault has fallen by over 20% on the French Stock Exchange, after reports that its offices have been searched by fraud investigators. Traders said the reported search may be linked to the Volkswagen emissions scandal. World news from the BBC. Lawyers for Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto have asked judges of the International Criminal Court to drop the charges against him. Mr. Ruto is accused of committing crimes against humanity during post-election violence 8 years ago. His lawyers said the case had fallen apart because key witnesses had changed their evidence or just disappeared. London is getting 600 more armed police officers following December's Islamist attacks in Paris. The Metropolitan Police Chief, Bernard Hogan Howe, said the force had to be able to deal with a spontaneous attack by people using automatic weapons.
We've got to be able to deal with people who've got automatic weapons who may run around the city and kill people. And if we don't do that, we saw what happened in Paris. 130 people died and over 200 were badly injured. No one wants to see that. And we've got to take our best steps to deal with it should it happen.
A former British soldier goes on trial in France today for trying to smuggle a 4-year-old Afghan girl into Britain. Rob Laurie met the girl while bringing aid to migrants near Calais. He says that out of compassion, he accepted a request from the child's father to take her to relatives legally settled in Britain. Officials in the South Indian state of Tamil Nadu say the number of whales that have died in recent weeks after becoming stranded on beaches has risen to 73. The last mass stranding in the area was more than 40 years ago. More from Jill McGivering.
For the last few days, officials and local fishermen in Tamil Nadu have battled to save the group of short-finned pilot whales. 2 days ago, they towed more than 30 back out to sea, but most have now returned to shore and died. It's unclear why the whales entered shallow waters in the first place and apparently became disorientated. One expert told the BBC that whales have such strong social bonds that once some in the group were stranded and died, the others may have been reluctant to leave that stretch of shore.
Joe McGivering, BBC News.